I'm Ricky Lumpkin, and you're listening to TCR.
Are you ready?
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I'll be your host for this evening. My name is Tim. No Brett today. I suspended him one episode for running his mouth. Said this was his podcast. It was his friend. And let's be real. We know whose podcast this is.
And that's a perfect way to introduce me.
And here's Anuj. Suspended one episode for that comment. What's up, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We have episode live. Whoa. Episode 55 coming to you live. Pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date? March 28th, 2017. The time? 8:25 on the dot. Follow us on Twitter. At The Center Ring. Get all the latest there. Hit us up on our website. Catch all the old episodes there. www.tcr.gg. Get in the conversation on our Discord. Again, hit us up on Twitter for the link. One day we'll get around to updating the website with that, but for now, what better way? Go to Twitter and ask for it. We have a wonderful episode for you today. Not only because Brett's not here to bog down the show with being a dad, but I think it might be the best episode ever. ESL made some rule changes, and oh boy, people have opinions on that. So do we. So we'll discuss a little bit of the ESL unbanning people, I guess, if you will. We'll end the show with e-news, of course. We move that back to the bus. But let's first start with something we actually wanted to talk about last week, but we kind of ran out of time and just scheduling reasons didn't work out. So we're going to bring it up on this episode. And that is the rise and fall, or is it a fall, of Hiko. In CSGO, I say if you're new or if you don't follow CSGO as much, we didn't really talk about it throughout, but formerly of Team Liquid, right? You could say Hiko, formerly of Team Liquid.
Makes the most sense.
I don't think you would say formerly of Optic Gaming. He did a couple stand-ins. Anyways, Hiko, a.k.a. Spencer Martin, age 27, born just a couple months before myself, though, is arguably one of the more recognizable US NA CSGO players, right? Known for being very clutch, which we will get into here in just a minute. Also being known as a traveling player, in my opinion. The dude does not stay still. In fact, I think Liquid was the longest he was on a team for, which ranged about a little over a year and a half, right? Just about. He joined Liquid September of 2015, left of February of 2017, just a little over a month ago. Apart from that, that dude has been on almost every NA team.
Any good NA team he's been a part of.
Right. You know, no CLG or anything like that, but I'm talking Complexity, Cloud9, iBuyPower, of course, before the fiasco. He's been on Team Liquid, and then recently just filling in with Optic Gaming.
And with Area 51, they were like the first NA team to go qualify for majors.
Back in the day, at the start of CSGO and everything, they were relevant. But Hiko has always been relevant, and I think we're finally... Are we getting to that time now where he might not be as relevant? Is he still highly sought after?
He's not the top tier talent that he once was. I mean, let's be real. He was probably the best NA player that we've had in CSGO. I mean, you know, let's take 1.6 out of the equation. He was good in 1.6, but CSGO is kind of where he's made a staple and made himself well known. But yeah, I think we're coming to a point where we're seeing the decline coming, just like with all players, it happens at some point. I think his is rough to swallow because, you know, like I said, he's one of the real hopes that NA had to put a dream team together for a long time.
And I also think it's just a tough one to get your mind around too, because A, it is Hiko, right? He's everyone's darling, or everyone, you either love him or hate him. Because the way when he left Cloud9, it was not good. Like, he burnt bridges. Because I know some of the rumors are is now because he's quote-unquote a free agent, he might go back to Cloud9 because Cloud9 is rumored to be making some changes. That's not happening. Or even going back to Liquid. Or not, you know, it's everywhere on there because Liquid just dropped Pimp. There's a lot of teams
he could play for still
right
at this point. It's just, where is he at personally?
And who wants to pick him up, right? It's not really rumored, or more so I would say a fact where people in the scene say he is difficult to deal, right? He's difficult to coach.
He likes to be in charge.
Right.
He likes to have a hand in putting it together. One of the big reasons also after he left, or one of the big things that was going on after he left Cloud9, was building the NA Dream Team after obviously all the IBP stuff went down. He wanted to build an NA Dream Team. That was his whole thing. It didn't really become that. It turned into Liquid, and then he brought over Simple. But he likes to have his hands in everything. You know, he's used to being in charge of the guy.
Well, and one thing going back to that Simple on Liquid, when James, the former coach of Team Liquid, friend of the show, in fact, when he left Team Liquid, I mean, he was quoted saying that we weren't on the same page. And when he says him and Liquid were not on the same page, he really means him and Hiko were not on the same page, and Liquid is going to listen to Hiko over the coach, because that's, in esports, the coach has very little power. It's not your normal traditional sports where the coach has the final say, right? It's Hiko. He is a much bigger name. They're going to listen to him, but he overstepped the coach.
Kind of like a LeBron James or a star NBA player.
Yeah,
it's more so NBA
player
than any other team. But NBA, you know, it's one of five guys, kind of like a Counter-Strike team is assembled in that sense. And you have a superstar on that team. That superstar is going to pick who plays around him, will determine the pace of the game. I mean, he kind of sets the tone for everything, right? When you start to step over the coach's boundaries, though, that's when it turns into something bigger.
Red flags start flying for me. When you cannot work out anything with your coach to the point where your coach is leaving the organization.
Yeah.
That's some red flags. Like, even if you are Hiko, I mean, don't even take away Hiko, like, put anyone in there. Like, if you are to the point where your coach is leaving the team, essentially quitting his job because it's just not working out and you can't find common grounds, probably an issue on both sides.
Well, he ran over players on the way there. I mean, look at somebody like Kusta coming from whatever team he was on prior to Liquid. When he came to Liquid, he allowed Simple to run him over and really derail his career. And then, you know, you had the swap with JDM and Kusta at that point. I mean, he was able to push buttons, and he was so good at what he did, though, right? I mean, I can't hate the guy. So hard to not like.
No, he's historic in the sense of, you know, one of the big facts, if you're ever playing Hiko trivia, is that he is one of the only NA players to ever make the semifinals in three majors.
Most recently,
take it with a grain of salt, though, because I mean, one of those majors, I believe, was way back in 2013, and I mean,
take that one out of the
equation. You don't get trophies for being semifinals.
They've given NA their only hope and runs recently, right? You had second at ESL One Cologne 2016. You had third at MLG Columbus. Those were two of the most recent runs that NA has seen that's kept us relevant in the scene. You know, without Liquid having those runs, and we still call them NA, you know, Simple was one of us at that point, right?
Well, it's an NA team.
There's an NA team, and most of them were NA players, even though he was the carry. That gave NA hope, and a lot of people flocked onto Team Hiko at that point, right? You were on board, you were rolling with them. So the community has a lot, I think, owed to him as far as what he brought to the table entertainment-wise.
And I agree with you there, but I think we're finding that his skill does not... Before, you could always say, well, yes, he's a pain in the ass to deal with, and he might not be the best teammate personality-wise.
Yeah.
And I think... But it was always where, but he's Hiko, right? Like, what's his 1v... You have the stat there, right?
I mean, it's some crazy stuff that I pulled up on him.
They call it the clutch stat.
Yeah, he's a clutch master, right? I mean, that's what Hiko's known for. People think of... you know, the cash play that he made where he's boosting himself onto box and gets a 3v1 on site. I mean, there's so many moments for him that come to mind. And then I went back and looked at his stats, you know, just in majors, 1v1 round, the guy's got 65% percentage And that's on 20 rounds at 1v1. So, I mean, you're playing against the top talent in the world at that point.
And the biggest stage on majors.
Biggest stage, and you come through 65% of the time. I mean, that's incredible. One thing I want us to be careful of going into this is the decline seems to be happening at a rapid pace, right? But that's just 2017. Looking back at his numbers, he had his second best year of his career really last year. He had a 0.97 overall rating. The highest was a 1.21, but that was the first year of CSGO. He had a 1.7 or 0.97 last year. This year, we've seen the decline happen in like a 3-month span. A lot of that is due to, I believe, turmoil within Liquid.
Roster moves and
roster
Liquid,
moves,
which,
you know,
doesn't help anyone.
You lose Simple and you bring on Pimp, and it's, you know, it's not like Pimp was a bad player, but he's not Simple, right? And you have somebody like Nitro who is no longer.
And I think as much as Hiko's not going to ever admit it, or maybe he will, you know, he seems to be a straight shooter. I think Simple leaving probably messed with him more than just his game style. Like, I think he really liked Simple. Not only because, obviously, they dominated when Simple was on the team. It was working really well. He probably thought, you know what, this is something we can work around. If we build a team around Simple and I, we can really make something. And then Simple's like, I'm going home.
Can't do it.
Right, I can't do it. I have to be home.
Yeah.
And I bet you he took that a lot harder emotionally than what he laid on.
Well, you saw all the little videos people made of them and the bonding videos, the, you know, whatever. It was probably his, it seemed like to me it was the most fun he had playing CS was that run. You know, you could see how happy he was on the main stage. They were doing the one-on-one interviews with him. And I mean, that had to be a fun moment for him, right? And then the decline happened so fast at that point. They lose their IGL, so he becomes IGL.
Which he never really wanted
Never
to
really
be.
Wanted to be IGL, but stepped up kind of like a Stewie. And you see some of these other North American players doing at this point. It's having to step up into an unnatural role that they're not used to. He had to do that. So that also messes with you because now you have a roster change and you've taken on more responsibility. Then Pimp, the whole thing didn't work out with Pimp necessarily because Nitro went on a slump. So it could be accumulation of things that we're seeing kind of come together that's causing it this way. Maybe you put him into the right situation again, and maybe the story is different than the rise and fall necessary of him.
He is only 27.
Yeah.
Which I understand in esports age, like people are like, wow, he's nearing retirement. Well, look at Virtus Pro. The only reason people used to retire at like the quote unquote retire at 22, 24 in esports wasn't because of a skill decline. It's because back then you didn't make money doing it.
Yeah.
Like you'd make a couple $1,000s.
You have to be a grown up.
Yeah, you'd win. Yeah, eventually you have to like, hey guys, look, I can't live off of 20,000 winnings anymore. Sorry, I have to.
There wasn't much reason to stay, you know, other than like from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, cons outweighed the pros. We all have to grow up eventually.
Look at me, I'm trying to go pro at 31. The dream's still alive, you know?
And I think DreamHack Austin is our chance. I really, I'm feeling it.
It's going to happen. Keep an eye out, boys.
I'm feeling it. But he's still not, I mean, what is his age, 27? Yes, he's been on every team. The only thing that I think is stopping him at this point, I think, is the behind-the-curtains reputation. I think that's really going to affect him from going to these other teams. Because, like, with being on Optic, like, why didn't that work out? You know, it's to be stand-ins, which, okay, he was a stand-in with Optic. I think we all know what a stand-in is, right? If all of a sudden you guys love each other after your, you know, three matches, I don't think you're going to be a stand-in. That's a tryout.
I mean, and Freak was a stand-in, what, for one game, two games or something?
Right.
It was like something incredibly short. You don't have a lot of time to mesh with your teammates.
No.
You're not playing together a lot. Like, let's get real. I'm sure they didn't boot camp for a week leading up to the match. They put in some time, but...
But nonetheless, that's I mean, it's going to be a tryout. Anytime you play with another team, it's going to be a tryout.
Again, same issue there, though. No IGL. I mean, it's the same problem with Optic that Optic's having right now is who is the IGL on that team? They lost Stannis. He comes into, again, an awkward situation. It's not like you're replacing another Rifler or another Lurker. He's coming into a position where they're already having internal turmoil, and you throw him in, and it's like, okay, perform, make it happen. They all played bad, you know? I mean, it wasn't like he's the reason they lost those games. What's going to be hard is what is the right situation for him at this point in his career, and that's important. You know, where can he go where he can be utilized in the roles that he created, the Lurker role, you know, standing on top of a hut in Nuke with
just
the auto shotty.
Rifler.
You know, just finding your spots that
I also
work.
Think to not go into a team and be that guy. Hiko does not have to be the clutch master on the team.
No.
Right? Like, one thing, like, yeah, you can say, wow, he's so clutch. He's 60, what was it?
65.
65, 1v1.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he doesn't always have to be a 1v1. Maybe he doesn't have to be clutch because the team just doesn't allow for that situation. Because they're helping
You want to
him.
Avoid those situations
yes,
altogether,
exactly.
Right? If you're in him, you still have faith in him, I feel like, to do that. Because being clutch, a lot of that is your smarts, right? Not necessarily your pure aim. It's outplaying and out-strategizing the other player. I think he just needs to find a place where it's going to be a good fit. And I don't know where that is. You mentioned Cloud9 as... You know, let's just say you throw that
Dude,
out there.
I think it's going to be he's going to have
replace?
To Goldilocks it and just try a bunch of different teams.
You're
going to
hop
see
around.
Which one's right.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen until the end of his career at this point, because NA doesn't have the talent for them to be spread around through four or five different teams. There's two or three good teams, you know, in NA.
And then you have a lot of those weird tier teams where... You know, I could even see him slowing down the top tier, right? Like, he doesn't have to join a tier one team. And really, I don't think there's any tier one teams available for him.
Yeah,
like, I could see going to CLG.
CLG wouldn't
I
be a bad
move. I could see where, and I'm more so seeing where teams would be interested in him. Not so much him being interested in the team.
Yeah.
Because I also think of teams like Misfits, where they're made up of that ragtag group of NA pros that were good, but they're also somewhat on a decline, and they just want to slow it down, right? Like,
it's like, who do you replace him for, right? You replace him for Twist? I mean, Twist is the best player on that team, so do you really want to come in and have to be the carry again right away, or do you replace him for somebody like Sick? Shazam's an offer. You have your IGL and, you know, Sean, so it's like, where is he going to fit once again?
Right.
It's kind of the same issue.
Right, and I'm not saying necessarily going to Misfits, but I'm saying going to one of those type of teams where it gives them the
tier
luxury
one and a half
of, right, like, you don't have to travel every weekend. You're never going to be invited to a tournament being on Misfits. You're just going to go to tournaments you qualify for.
And that would be the fall of the career, more so than, like, I mean, you're kind of done at that point, right?
That's
where it's headed.
Fact that that's what you want.
Yeah.
No one knows where Hiko's mind is at, because you follow his Twitter and it's always like, oh, I've never played Counter-Strike more in my life and I've never played better. I feel good. Well,
but
what do you want him to say?
If you watch him in general, like if you watch his stream, it's kind of fun because he's never playing rank S. You know,
no.
He's never in
he's
rank S.
He's always in Pugs.
You know, he's in Pugs. He's playing Dust 2 half the time. You know, you see him in these like pool day kind of maps,
which,
and, you know,
and I will speak for Brett because Brett's not here because he's on suspension. Brett hates that, and he hates
that he's playing like
dude.
More...
Brett will claim that is why he is not good, because he doesn't play like rank S or anything. He's just beating up on people he knows he can beat.
Well, rank S happens at like midnight,
right?
So,
well, and I also say the argument of like, he only streams for like a couple hours. I'm sure that's
yeah, and granted,
mess
if
around.
That's your job, you make it work out
right.
to fit. You fit the schedule of the job,
like,
right?
For all we know, that is what he does to
but
just play around.
I guess that could be one of the downfalls of being 27. You know, you want to go to bed at maybe a little bit more of a decent
right.
time than you do at 19 or 20.
You can't constantly do the 4 a.m. games.
From what you hear, rank S is where people develop their bad habits. You know, like that's where they develop habits that call you a pug star, and then you hop into a real game and you have these, you know, habits that you probably shouldn't have playing in a real, true competitive setting.
That's the stigma Stewie had for the longest time.
Yeah, Pugstar, right? No, it's like...
And that's worked out really... I mean, you want to talk about being a Pugstar, that's worked out really well for Cloud9.
If he became a full-time streamer, I wouldn't be disappointed. It'd be fun. It would be...
Yeah, but I think it's like
him.
You said, that's kind of admitting defeat.
Oh, yeah, it's
right?
like getting Tony Romo to retire at this point. You know, you can break a
you're
bone on any
him
play.
To ride the bench. And
yeah, do something you don't want to do, so... I mean, while he's got it in him, he's got to keep finding a team. I just, you know, like you said, it's hard to find a home and what's really the right fit for him. And will he ever get to where he wants to go? You know, he's wanted to win a major. That's probably not going to happen at this point.
To me, it's almost like being in between a rock and a hard place, to where you, because we're not privy to what he's thinking, I see two roads. It's either he's either going to last and succeed on a team that's willing to be patient with him to turn it around, because I don't think he's done. Like, I don't think his decline is so steep where he can't get it back. Like, look at, you know, you've said it before, like, look at the scenarios, and you can, like, clearly see in the records for, like, 2016, like mainly from like the beginning of 2016 all the way up to about August, he consistently made like top four in tournaments.
Yeah, and his overall rating for 2016 online, LAN, and majors was a 1.01 overall. I mean, that's a good rating to have. Right now, like I said, right now is where the slippage is happening. You know, right now, and I wrote some of this down on here.
But you can also see the clear line, though. Like, look, at early 2016, they got, you know, third and fourth place at the MLG major. In July, they got second place at ESL 1 against SK. Then Simple leaves, and immediately he gets two top four in that. One being at the Vegas qualifiers for DreamHack, and the other one being ESL 1 New York.
Yeah, and they were eliminated, what, group stage at E-League, I believe?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they made a couple of good runs. I think Liege was playing really well at that point. They just didn't make it through.
No, yeah, they got 17th through 22nd at E-League Season 1.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's in the bottom 15% for overall rating for this year, bottom 5% for kills per round, and he's, you know, in the top 65-70% of deaths per round, which is the opposite of where you want to be. So the last, you know, 90 to 120 days have been pretty rough for him.
But he hasn't even had, like, let alone him being stable, he hasn't had a stable team around him.
No. And that's why the next team is going to be important. Like,
it's huge.
If the next team doesn't work out, then what, you just keep hopping around until your career's over? Is that how you want your legacy to, like, go out?
So, no. And to me, he is a traveler. Like, he already has that reputation of being a team hopper.
But at least he's hopping from one good team generally to a next.
Yeah,
right?
Typically he's never declined with moving, right? When he left, I mean, even Cloud9 was kind of early on. Like, he succeeded with Complexity. They got to a major, but I think Cloud9 was the first one where you heard Hiko, right? It was a lot of big things. And then when he joined Team Liquid, that's really where he earned his name.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked for him because the IBP stuff went down before he got a chance to play with them. So that lineup really could have been something special at that point. They had, you know, arguably two of the best five players in NA on that team, and he was about to join that roster to make them really a true super team. It took a little bit of a turn from there, and then Liquid came along, and that's kind of been his blessing. It revitalized his career. He was able to accomplish more in this past year and 3 months than he accomplished at any point during his last, you know, 8-9 years of a career since 1.5. So this has been this is going to be a hard reality to come to here. It's, where do I go now and what am I comfortable with? Am I okay with not making majors anymore? Am I okay with not qualifying for, you know, potentially ESL Pro League to stay in a tier one team or, you know, top level team? So yeah, these next couple weeks to find out where he's going is going to be interesting, and will kind of determine the outset of his career going forward.
Do you think it's going to be in the next couple of, like, when do you think the next news for Hiko will come down the line?
I think we'll know before the next major, you know, where he's at. I think teams will...
You think a team's going to try to pick him up for the major, like...
That, or it'll happen right after somebody doesn't. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to get to the qualifiers, right? Then you're going to see the teams that make the major, that qualify for it, and then you're going to have that group of teams that don't qualify for it. I think he will fall onto one of those teams that ultimately don't end up qualifying for the major, that feel they need to make a change, like a CLG, a Cloud9, you know, some of these other NA teams that might not qualify ultimately for the major. I could see him sliding into a team at that point for one of the unqualified teams.
And I could see that definitely for sure, where basically everything said. I'm not going to lie to you, Nuge, because I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't listen to a word you said, just so the listener's aware.
Bruh.
In my defense,
are you serious?
In my defense, I'm not even going to pretend like I was listening.
I saw your mouth drop. What just happened here?
A realtor texted me, and basically they, for the listeners who are maybe don't listen to every minute of the show, I'm in the middle of buying a house, and it's very stressful. But the seller agreed to fix everything we asked for. Like 100%.
Dope. That's nice. Taking care of everything?
Oh, man. Listen, when you have a podcast of your own, people do things for you, right? They're like, oh my God, are you TCR? And I was like, what do I need to sign?
You told them you're a co-host, right?
Right. Yeah. They were like, are you the main host? And I was like, Well, my name's first.
I introduced
the group. I don't want to say I'm the main host. You know, what is the main host?
Well, congrats,
right?
Man. That's exciting. I'm still pissed you did not hear a word I said.
Yeah, that is a relief. And because I didn't listen to a word you said, we're going to wrap up the Hiko talk. I assume it was riveting stuff.
It was
that
just
you
announced
said.
What team he was on. That's what I was telling you.
Yeah, I don't believe you because we all know breaking news happens after we end the
right
show.
Right when we leave, like, right around 10:30 today.
Yeah, you want to know when we're going to find out what team Hiko's going to? Just wait till we post the show and then it's going to be announced because it never, and that has been since episode one of TCR.
You told me that the first episode we came on. And it was like the moment we left, I think it was like the G2, or I don't even know who it was. It was some major roster swap.
We spent the entire episode talking about, man, what happens if this happens? And I even said in the episode, I don't think the French Shuffle is going to happen. And
boom, Envy disbands.
An hour later, it's all blown up. Oh. You got to love it. You got to love pre-recorded shows. What you also have to love, though, is the inconsistency that we get from all these leagues. And when I speak of that, I'm directly talking about ESL and how they just came down with the rule change. Man, what?
This
Two
week.
Or 3 days ago. Yeah. It's kind of fresh, really, where ESL has announced that they are lifting any type of VAC ban. So typically standards were, ESL had a stance where if you had a VAC ban ever in your history of owning a Steam account, you were a perma ban from all their tournaments. And that was ESL's rule.
Yeah.
They did not have any VAC banned players. And that's players like, you know, Quickly, Emilio, you know, any of those kind of former at this point CSGO players that were pros, right? Like that was actually a thing where pros were cheating, like, which I say is crazy, but when you think of traditional sports, it's steroids.
It's happening now,
yeah,
bro.
People do it.
It's happening now.
You think there's a pro out there, a top pro?
100%. I think there's people that are trying to get onto teams that are cheating.
Well, I agree with that. I do think
that are rising up through Premier and all that rather quickly. That
yeah, you see those people that just all of a sudden pop up in Premier or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they do become, they are using some very light type of aim assistance to help them get into, say, rank S and get noticed, and then they'll turn it off.
Like they're
because,
a good player that becomes
yes,
better.
Exactly.
Right?
They're know, a good player that's not weird. It's not weird to see this random dude just all of a sudden dropping headshots, but they're good enough to where if all of a sudden they start improving, people would be like, wow, we should maybe try this guy out for our premier team or an academy team. That
I mean, hell, all the
to
pressure's
do.
On that Ropes kid right now that is playing in what? What's the FPL league or whatever, or EuroLeague, he just won it over there, and he's not accepting any team invites, so he's getting called out nonstop.
Really?
JW has put him on blast multiple times.
Really?
I mean,
okay, so I
multiple times. Magic's
so just some
Magic's
pug
boy
star
has been
that.
Well, he's not a pug, so he's been asked to be on a lot of teams, but he's in school still. He's young, and so he
how
said,
young are we talking?
Shit, young enough to where you're still in school, way younger than I am.
When
and
we so say school,
he
like
gets
high
out
school?
He gets out at 4 p.m., so I'm sure it's high school, right?
Okay.
If it's something like where it's a set time every day,
okay.
I'm assuming
well,
high
then
school.
Leave the kid alone.
Well, he said he wants to join a team, but he can only do stuff after 4 p.m., and he's like a straight-A student and all that. He just did an AMA the other day on Reddit, if you saw it.
No, I
and
did not.
So, yeah, he did an AMA on there, and so this kid is, sorry, off topic here for a second, this kid's getting called out because he's not accepting a team invite, and JW and all these guys are like, look, I get it. You want to finish school, but we're talking like you're getting offered more money than you can make in these next couple of years, more than you'll probably make doing any normal job for the next 10 years, right? So he's like, take a year off, see how good you are, see if it evolves into something. Well, he doesn't want to do that. I don't blame him. Stay in school, kid. Stay in school.
Yes.
So
now, if
I don't,
it's college,
college, different story.
Okay, yeah,
if
it's college,
high school,
give yourself a year break to
get
see.
Your damn diploma. Don't come out of here looking for a GED. I do IT recruiting. We will not hire your ass if you're looking for a job 10 years from now and you don't have your diploma. So at the end of the day, this kid won't accept an invite. So he's getting put on blast. And
I support him in his decision to finish out school. I will never blame someone for unless it's college. Like I said, you can give yourself a year break.
See how good you are. See where it goes.
And then goes from there. But if you're in school, yes, that's kind of messed up that pros are being like, come on, kid, just quit school. What's the big deal?
Like, yeah, he's become like a rock star
parents,
though.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I'm talking about this kid is like dominating like
the
pro scene over there. So
it's the untouchable fruit, right? Everyone wants him just because he doesn't want them, right?
It'll be interesting. He'll have to go on a pro team as soon as he graduates just to show legitimacy at this point.
Unless he's cheating. And then if he gets caught cheating, then he just has to wait two more years.
You graduate high school and you don't join a pro team, at that point,
you're a cheater.
The accusations are allowed to be in front of you. Anyways,
so what ESL. What ESL did to kind of reset the ESL, lifting the VAC rule, is so if you have a VAC ban on file, and this is retroactive, this is not starting now, retroactively, you are good to play after 2 years. You have a 2-year suspension, and then you can play again in a pro league. Minus the fact, though, any Valve approved tournaments. So
no majors. You're out of all the majors.
Right. That's the only ones Valves are sanctioned for.
No big deal.
No.
Yeah.
This is where I know a lot of players, like pros, like Pasha was tweeting about it. I mean, everyone. Everyone was saying, and of course the comparison right off the bat, I buy power. Right. Yep. Everyone was saying, how are we not even going to acknowledge or entertain the idea with lifting the ban for iBuyPower or making the same rule?
To make the statement that they made was like, with the exemption of match fixing players,
they knew this was going to come up.
100%. It was clearly a call out to IBP because really, who else is there in the scene that
no one worth
give
care
a care about, you know, that's involved in match fixing? So that's the big news that goes along with this. I think it is. I mean, this is really big news. I mean, we're looking at a lot of players that are now available.
Dude, it's huge. Now, at the same time, though, is it big news? Because they're not allowed to play in major. No reputable team, first off, is going to touch these guys.
Yeah.
Like, not even a tier 2 team is going to pick these guys up.
That's not true. So, like, and I don't think it's true. I shouldn't say that's not true. Like, you can have your own crap opinion. But
whatever, man.
That's like, picture a team that has no chance of making a major or qualifying for a major. What, you have your 8 legend or 6 legend teams plus your 8 that qualify in roughly. So 16 teams that are making it. Now, look at a lot of these middle of the pack tier 1, tier 2 teams like an LDLC, a Penta, a Misfits, a Complexity. These guys are probably not going to make a major anytime soon. Why not pick up one of these guys?
Like guys like Complexity and all them?
I don't think
there is a team that is going to touch this. Not only because even if the organization says it's okay, like look at the reaction from these pros. There is no way, like if I was on a team, there is no way that I'd be like, oh man, this guy who's formerly hacked, yeah, I'll let you play with me. Even if one of my friends came out and been like, yeah, dude, I hack occasionally on an alt account. I'd be like, nah, dude.
If Brett hacked, we'd be happy. We'd be like, okay, yo, come on, join the team, bro.
We all know Brett does not hack, all right? You don't hack and get bottom frag consistently.
Brett, we love you, but not so much today.
So, I will say this. Now, that being said, as much as I don't think we're going to see as big of a difference as pros. Like, pros are like, oh, you know, see you at LAN, cheaters, as Pasha said, and maybe a little tongue-in-cheek there. I will applaud ESL for change, right? We constantly, like, maybe this is the first step to lifting match-fixing bans. I know they said specifically in here, no.
That indefinite, and, so it doesn't mean...
No, and again, it's Val's ruling mainly swinging that hammer. And it's going to be, if they do, so because this was also sanctioned by Valve saying we're not going to allow in majors, like no matter what your rules are, they're not going to be in our tournaments, promise you that's going to be the case for match fixing. So even if ESL lifts that ban, they're not going to
be able to play in Valve sponsored events.
You will never see.
Look, the dream of IBP coming back together.
Let it die.
It's not happening.
Let it die.
At least it's not happening for major events. Now, what's great about the Counter-Strike scene right now is you have $250,000 tournaments going on that are non-major tournaments. You have, you know, eventually these $250,000 are going to turn into $500,000 because these $1 million majors are going to go to 3, 5, 10, you know, eventually catch up to maybe even potentially a Dota who's at 20 plus at this point. So as these tournaments become more valuable for middle tier to lower tier one orgs, they can pay a team's salary off of one win on one of these tournaments. So if you can potentially bring in a superstar who hacked. Now, it's kind of weird to say, right? Like a superstar that hacked. How do we know how good he is? Chances are he was pretty freaking good to hacking.
I think, and you know, there's also been pros that are continuing to play, like Simple.
Simple is like the easy name to throw out there, right? He had a back ban on his account.
He had a back ban, and he did ban evasion on ESEA. Like, that was a huge deal then.
Yeah.
And yet, we kind of brushed that aside because it wasn't, you know...
You weren't in a land with the aimbot going on, right?
It wasn't... He was small time at the time of doing it. He was not the Simple today. So people kind of overlook that. I know Richard Lewis did one of his YouTube videos, and I thought he did a really good job of basically calling out people for being hypocrites. Like, you have guys on Navi saying, like, you know, I would rather... This is, you know, basically saying it's BS. And then he's like, okay, but one of your teammates is that cheater that just, for whatever reason, has got around this lifetime ban.
Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. I saw a couple names listed, but there are some big names out there that have had VACs on their account. I think Nothing had a VAC on his account at 1.2. That was early days, and it was like him cheating on like an offline server or something that got caught. So,
and Nothing is, I mean, he will openly say, like, yeah, on 1.6 and stuff, we cheated, but it was like for fun. But at what point?
But
then,
that throws a VAC on your account, right?
You exactly. Know, so. Valve doesn't care if you're cheating for fun, and I don't think a lot of people care if it's, well, guys, okay, it was for fun, and it's okay. Like, no,
when I first got into CS, I got into CS at like 1.2, 1.3, so I'm like an old fart. I remember like in junior high downloading some stuff and messing around with it to see what it did, you know?
Right.
Never wanted to lose your account. That's why my account is still original. You can go check my ID. But like, you never wanted to lose your account. You were afraid to get it on there, but everybody tried it just to see what it was because everybody was doing it. Match fixing, you know, what ESL is doing is going to a more sports mindset, right?
Yeah.
You get caught cheating in sports. Right. You have a normal ban. You have suspension.
The Pete Rose. Right,
that's match fixing in a sense.
In a, it was same principle, right?
Betting
you're putting
on a gambling,
money on a game, gambling, whatever. It's same.
It falls into the same bucket of like
same
shittiness.
Bucket. Yeah, and yet you have people in steroids where they might get a 30 game suspension or whatever, but they're still allowed to play.
You can cheat 3 times in baseball and come back and play. You can be on, you know, it's like you said, 30 game, then it goes to 60, then it goes to lifetime
or whatever,
you know?
But you're allowed a lot of options there, where Pete Rose, on the other hand, is just completely dead to the sport.
Shunned to
and
baseball.
For what I think is a little bit silly, because he bet on games for him, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same principle here, where it's like, okay, I buy power through... supposedly one game, like that is their story, and they're sticking to it that they only did it like once or twice and they just got caught that one time.
Look, Pete Rose is the perfect example that you just gave, because look at the All-Star game, for example. They brought him back out when the All-Star game was in Ohio. They brought him out into the field, let the fans
people
cheer
loved
for him.
Him
they marketed him, they made money off of him. ESL One hired Dazed is working for ESL right now to cast matches.
I didn't even think
and
about
so
that.
So they're willing to use him when it can profit them in this way. Dazed doesn't profit them by joining an org. There's no need to unban these guys and make a big deal out of it.
No, and ESL One's genius for that. And I never even thought about that. That ESL One is genius for hiring him, because people are like, oh my, it's Dazed. Like,
he's
back in the scene. Like, let's, okay, yeah, he's back in the scene. This is one step closer. When his employer is the same employer keeping the rule up that he can't play.
Like, you're hurting his career by making the decision you made at the end of the day, but you're giving him a job and allowing him to work for you in a position of so much visibility. I mean, you're talking about this guy as front stage center in front of all your fans, which you seem to be so against what, you know, these hideous or heinous crimes that he committed, you're willing to throw him out there and let him be the face of your company at this point. So it's, you know, take it with tongue in cheek with what they say, but they know what they're doing. And this ultimately is a big story because, again, it reverts back to IBP, who is the biggest story in all of Counter-Strike all the time.
If IBP never happened, this was not a big story.
No.
Like, this would have been on a clutcher kick if I Buy Power never happened.
Yeah.
The bigger story is that they completely sidestepped it and put in one sentence saying, doesn't apply to match fixers. You know, shut up. We don't want to hear it. Like, I mean, this is our ruling. This is what's going to happen. People have their opinions on what's worse. You know, I saw Launders tweet out, like, what's worse, match fixing or cheaters? I think that's kind of a childish way to think about this.
It's a terrible way to think about it.
Is because this is not match fixing versus cheating. It's, to me, not saying that I agree with it, because I don't. I agree with the lifetime ban on iBuyPower. Just, that's a disclosure there. Like, I could care less if they ever play another professional game of CSGO. Don't care. Same thing with the cheaters. I'm consistent on that. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, well, cheaters should play, but more match fixers should. No. I think all of them, if you're going to do
it,
just do it on both.
Yeah, if you're evac'd in an event, whether that be a pro league season or an online match, a LAN, whatever it may be, I think it should be a lifetime ban. I think, and that should apply from the start of CS, because you know cheating is wrong, just like you know match fixing is wrong. I'm a little bit on the other end of match fixing, because I think if you get caught now, they should have it set in stone where it's a lifetime ban. What IBP did, and this is really not being a fanboy, because I mean, I don't really care if they come back or not personally, but what they did, there was no rules or guidelines in place. The game was in its infancy at that point, even though CS has been around forever. CSGO has not. They didn't have anything in writing. And like this whole skins gambling thing. People have profited and done things the wrong way before within CS. I think you have your set of rules now.
I mean, look at the skin gambling websites where the FaZe organization was involved with shady dealing with the skin website.
And so many players were involved, whether that's throwing it on their stream and having it as sponsor.
Looking at you, Guardian. Yeah. I don't trust you for anything when it comes to that.
When Guardian has the number one most valued account in the game as a pro player, something's not right there. You get your Phantom Lords and all these guys that do that. Either way, it was wrong. You know, right. What they were doing was wrong. I agree with what IBP did was terrible. But the game was so young then. They weren't making any money. The skins that they traded we're talking pennies to the dollar compared to what's going on nowadays with the skin game. Skins were even in its infancy at that point. So they really, talking about like 20, 30 Asimovs and like random crap like that, you know?
Right.
So I don't understand why not just like let them back in at this point. These guys are older. Swag was like 14, 15, 16, whatever. He was young as heck when it happened. So it'd be nice if they unbanned him. But this is big news because they are still banned. It'll be fun to see if a couple of these guys get picked up on teams and like where do they end up going.
I'll be very surprised if they get picked up on any relevant team. In fact, the only way I see them getting picked up on a team is like maybe a tier 3 team, maybe a bad tier 2 team that just wants to make the headlines.
Like not a big org, basically, you're saying.
Right, yeah. Not one that has enough fan base to be worried about looking bad, or like you said, like it's gonna have to be a team that basically is admitting, like, yeah, we're not gonna make it.
Like
major.
Team U-Porn,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Like Team YP would be a perfect example of a team that would pick up
like all
this.
Five of them. You right, know, like
everybody. You know,
Sealy, SF, Emilio,
Days. You
like,
know,
all of y'all get on here
like,
right now.
Everybody in on this right now. Because guess what? They're not. I don't even think they're allowed to be at majors anyways because of their sponsor.
Now they. Quickly, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, that KQL.
Yeah, I always say Quickly. That could be
Quickly.
Completely
like,
wrong.
I don't know if that's how it is, whatever it is. It'll be interesting to see where he goes, because he was like a good pro. Now, there are other videos of him out there like cheating blatantly in this scene that are like so bad. If you watch it, even an average eye can spot that he was 100% blatantly hacking in online matches back then. Obviously, he got caught doing what he was doing. That's why he is banned. But it'll be interesting to see if he gets another opportunity in that scene, because he's still popular. He's still streaming. He's still active in the community as far as, like I said, you know, the streaming aspect
right.
And all that goes. I could see him getting picked up by a high-level tier 2 team. I really do, just because he has talent and those guys.
But you think they're even willing to risk like the off chance that they qualify for a major? Or they see that trend going, like how quickly do they get rid of someone
again,
like
that's
that?
That's why I said it's got to be a team that knows, like, man, we're not going to qualify. Like Misfits. Misfits is not going to qualify for a major regardless of what they do. They're not going to go on a run where all of a sudden they're a major team. Complexity, not going to go to a major. Hate to break it to you. Like, they're not going to be a major team anytime soon. Hell, barely Optic and Cloud9. Cloud9, again, perfect.
Yeah,
they're not
even
making
major.
Majors, you know? So there's plenty of teams out there that are well known to the community that are good enough to be in a lot of these pro leagues, which has a lot of money on the line at the end of the day, that could easily slide one of them in and be like, we're not playing in majors now anyway. What does it matter to pick him up? Let's go win $300,000. Let's go win $500,000 at this tournament. Money talks a lot at the end of the day. And if they're still good enough, it wouldn't surprise me at all if a high-level Tier 2 team or a below-average Tier 1 team that's barely staying, you know, in the league picks him up. What is it going to hurt?
You know, a Tier 2 or a lower Tier 2 team picking one of them up, winning a couple of these side tournaments that aren't majors or qualifiers in any means, becoming relevant, and then saying, thanks, deuces, bud. You understand. You know.
You only need three players on your team to keep a legendary status, right?
Yeah.
So let's say they make a run and get to a major, boot his butt off.
Yeah, like
pick
what?
Somebody else up. You're still going to make a chunk of money
the
in the
drill,
major, yeah.
Right? Like, they're not going to. They shouldn't blame any organization for being like, so you're saying that I'm gone, so you can play in a major?
Like who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're telling you.
100%. So, like I said, it just wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think the potential is there. The names. I mean, as long as you're good, you're going to probably get a chance, just like you would in any sport. You look at Barry Bonds. I mean, you look at all these, the steroid era, you know, football players that are all constantly getting caught on steroids. These guys are still given chances because they're still naturally gifted athletes at what they do. And as long as they're unsuspended, why not take a flyer on them? The only difference is, like, if you pick up a football player or a baseball player, you're not suspended from the World Series, right?
Right.
Like, that is, I get it, it's a big deal, but there's plenty of teams in these sports that are never going to make it to the World Series anyway.
Right. Well, I was more so thinking of just reputation-wise. Like, no organization's going to mess with that. But from what I hear from you, it sounds like you really don't have an issue with lifting the VAC bans.
No, I mean, I think it's their league, their rules. I wish they would stick to rules. You had mentioned one thing earlier to me today about the whole VP, you know, wasn't going to make ESL Pro League.
Yeah,
they made an extra match for them.
Last ESL Pro League, VP got relegated, and then all of a sudden, we're trying a new format to qualify teams, and it just so happens to be VP is in this qualifier with just, like, Tier 3 EU teams. It's like,
just to get them in.
Yeah, like, ESL, could you make an extra rule to include these guys?
Like, that's a bigger problem for me than unbanning somebody who's been vacked and not able to play in the pro scene for 2 years. If you've kept your skill up and you can still go out there and do it, and now it's even harder to cheat nowadays. I mean, the equipment is all provided for you to land. Your configs are generally preloaded at these bigger tournaments. The issue becomes online.
Millions of people watching it.
Millions of people watching. I mean, they have a face cam. They have a hand cam. You're watching somebody use their mouse. They're on screen. I mean, it's just too hard to cheat at LAN. Online, different story. It can still easily happen. I'm sure it does. But if these guys are good enough to go out there and play at LAN and willing to do it, and they're going to get beaten up on, but hey.
They will.
A-Rod made $250 million by getting pooped on at every stadium he went to. These guys can handle a little backlash if they're going to get paid.
If you want to be in the public eye, that's one of the things.
It's part of the game.
Here's my thing, and I've said it before, where I don't hate that they changed the rules. I really don't care. Either way. I think 2-year suspension is probably fair enough. I think that's a good number when you think of if you got busted cheating. And like I said, that's retroactive, so that's why a lot of these players are instantly qualified.
Like, immediately. That's a bigger deal, right?
Right. That is a bigger deal.
Yeah.
If you get caught now, you have to wait 2 years. In my head, I think that's probably fair.
That's a long time.
Considering in today's Counter-Strike esports world, where everything is so fast-paced moving, you'll be so irrelevant in 2 years, your career is dead anyways.
Tim, any sport, you're gone for 2 years. Name an athlete that we've seen come back, other than maybe Michael Vick.
That's who I was going to name.
You know, that's come back after 18 months. That wasn't even a full 2 years. I mean, I guess it was 2 seasons, but
right.
18 months. But hey, you're in prison. You're probably working out and staying in shape anyway. But like, 2 years, you're pretty irrelevant. Look at Johnny Manziel, year out. Who the hell is he anymore?
Keep in mind, Michael Vick was like
a God gifted.
Right. Like, he was tier one quarterback.
He was simple. Right. He was simple,
yeah, so
essentially.
You're going to get those you're going to get the few.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if you were caught cheating, it probably hurts your stock a little bit. But I think 2 years is almost like the death penalty in college sports, where it's like you might become relevant once more, but as far as like being what you were, you're done.
again, you do the crime, you're paying the time at that point. If you can make it back on your own and show that you can do it legitimately.
Because guess what? You think these guys who got caught cheating and coming back are just going to be able to play without having their equipment checked?
Yeah.
Hell no,
you're
going to
have a million more eyes on you than you would.
Like you
think
said,
they can load a USB into the computer when they get up there?
Than what it is now. Yeah. Like back then, you'd go play in these small tournaments and no one was watching. No one thought like you were going to have some special fancy mouse with hacks built into it or something. No.
Like you have to think way out of the box at LAN right to make it happen. I think that's
and
what makes
you know
the
what?
IBP.
If you get busted again, okay, well then,
hey,
done.
Lifetime. Like, what does it matter?
Fool me once, shame on you.
Take another 2 years,
twice, shame
then
on
you're
me.
Gone for four at that point.
Right.
What does it matter?
Yeah, I think at that point.
With IBP, the harsh reality is a lot of them are still good.
You're right.
You know, and people know that. That's what makes that so difficult because.
And you know what? They say that it doesn't bother them.
100%
it bothers them every time.
They
go to Steel.
Wouldn't play CS.
Let's see
if it didn't bother them.
Go to Steel stream and mention it and see how fast you get banned.
Man,
so quick. It doesn't bother them.
So quick. But look at DaZe. DaZe is still a premier player in the sport if he was allowed to play. I mean, him and Swag are both considered still some of the best NA prospects, players, whatever, available till this point. That's what makes that such a harsh reality for people is like. Man, they could probably still be really good if you got a couple of them back together and let them see what they could do in the NA. Part of it is the NA scene sucks. I mean, like, let's be real. The NA scene is not a good scene right now.
It sucks, and it's also flooded with teams.
Yeah, flooded with tier two, like a bunch of tier two.
That's why, though. They spread the town. I mean, it's age-old argument for NA teams and why they suck.
They don't form super teams, right?
No, and there's such an itchy trigger finger to kick people out and attitude, and everyone thinks they're a
Everyone thinks
they're a pro. Well, they are pros, but they think they're the best pro.
Think they're better than they are.
My one issue with how ESL handled, my issue was not the fact that they're allowed to play, because like I said, whatever. You said, did the crime, serve the time. 2 years is plenty for me to be like, okay, you know, you're an ass for cheating. You're going to sit out for 2 years and be irrelevant. And then you'll probably never...
99% of them will never come back to the scene.
And it hurt. You know, you are putting a lifetime ban on majors, which is huge when it comes to...
Is it a lifetime ban or just something that Valve hasn't lifted, technically?
Right. Valve hasn't lifted it, but let's be real. Valve is... They do not budge.
Unless money's involved.
Now, what bothers me is kind of almost the... I don't know if it's the right word, but naive sense they had when doing this. Like, you knew what was going to come from this. Like, you knew the public reaction was not going to be accepting, especially when you're still having that ban on match fixing. Yeah. When in reality, match fixing involves like four people. So
that's really it.
It's naive and almost maybe a little arrogant that ESL just is willing to do this for whatever reason. I don't know how they came up with this idea.
Like, where did this conversation come into play?
Like, and in that conversation, was there no one saying, guys, this doesn't make sense? Like, we are not being consistent, and it's the consistency that drives me insane, that they're just so willing to lift this ban for cheaters. And you know what? Why not do it for match fixing? Now, like I said earlier, I do applaud them for change, because this does open the door for conversation again. Like, we were just getting away from the iBuyPower stuff. This will never end, because this now will always leave
that door
open. They
keep it relevant to like keep the conversation going, right?
It will always leave that door open to where, oh, well, okay, these guys were banned like 2 years ago. Well, now maybe they're going to change the rule.
It's one step closer to making yourself closer to like what we consider the big boy sports out
there.
Where
you have rules and punishment.
You should. I mean, every sport has it, and they have it in writing what the rules are. The problem with Counter-Strike or esports in general is, depending on the league, depending on the tournament organizer, depending on the teams that are involved, there's no set standard anywhere. Hopefully this kind of helps set that standard. This is a big group doing it. I applaud them for going out there and doing it, even though they knew they were going to get shitted on for doing it. But, you know, good job. Like, you're the first group to do it. Hopefully people follow suit. But they're one of the biggest players in the game. So if they're going to allow it, you know, other places eventually will.
I think DreamHack did come out and say, we are not supporting this.
Well, yeah, because the backlash is so bad. Like, why come out right now and take the negative spotlight. Yeah.
You're like, no, we agree with you, man.
Wait 6 months, and then if they say it, then it's just another article, and this hops into a whole different segment for our show, you know? So, yeah, DreamHack is probably a smart thing to come out and be like, we're going to avoid this for right now, let y'all take the heat, maybe we'll step back into the fire.
And one thing to take away, too, is, you know, you can't always, every punishment cannot be a lifetime ban.
No.
It's just, it's not good business. It's, you know, only a Sith deals in absolute. So you can't punish everything.
It seems
to
childish
be
a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, you're banned for life for playing with us.
It does seem like very poor management.
Like, I almost get it if everybody in esports was like 35 to 50. You know, we're talking about kids here, ultimately. We are the older group that's involved in esports at high 20s, low 30s. We're considered the old parts of the group here, you know? So most of these guys are 17 to 23, 24 years old. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do dumb shit occasionally. So it's okay.
Like, they don't have back, especially again, back again. Everything's everything is speaking in retro.
How
right?
old was Swag when he got banned?
17.
He's like, it's 17. What were you doing? I mean, name the dumb stuff you did at 17.
Exactly.
We can't even say it on
and
here.
These guys are pros with no agents at the time. Like I said, completely different.
No agents, not making money.
And they were
in the spotlight.
Examples.
Yeah,
they were the
so.
Examples. I don't know. Like I said. I like the change. I am not against the rule change because it doesn't affect me at all.
Just
people
don't care that
yeah,
much.
Like guys, they lift a ban after 2 years. Like, okay,
you won't even know any of them
again,
that are back in the scene except
just
maybe one or two players.
Being a hypocrite though, as an esports fan, and then we'll move on to e-news. But the last thing I'm going to say on this is the fan base where they want ESL's head for lifting this ban. But ask yourself, do you want their heads for lifting this ban and allowing cheaters? Or do you want their heads for lifting the ban and still keeping match fixing banned? Because it's two different arguments.
Like from my perspective or like the pro scene perspective?
Just in general. Like I'm just
the bigger
saying like
issue
I want
is
Twitter.
That, yeah.
Like everyone like kept saying like, oh, I don't want to play with cheaters or I don't want to do this and
that's
this.
That's the pros that made that a really big deal, right? Like I don't want to play with cheaters. When they say something like that, that's going to like shake through the whole community and everybody's going to agree with what Pasha says or what,
right.
You know, somebody from Navi says, like everyone's going to agree with it and jump on. And all of a sudden all the pitchforks are out instead of just like a handful of players doing it. Any sport is going to have an issue with banned players coming back. You know, somebody, again, baseball is the easiest example because it's the most recent big sport to go through a major scandal. A lot of these players weren't happy that a banned player can come back and play, but it's the reality of sports. It's the way it works. You do the crime, you serve a punishment, you get to come back and play. That's going to be the same thing here. This is going to be over with. As soon as the first person signs is when this will become a big deal again. This is already off front page news for me. You
right.
know, like,
no, I agree.
Somebody signs with a big team. Here
and,
we go.
And
everyone will
then,
come back out.
I don't even know if that will be front page. That will kind of be like a...
It'll be a headline. People will talk about it. People will be angry about it. It'll die away until his first land. And hey, if he performs at that point, it's like, oh, damn, like this is kind of a cool story to follow now.
Of course,
you know?
Even if he performs well, he could bottom frag the rest of his life and people will still say he's cheating.
And
somehow.
That's part of being in the spotlight. You got to be willing to deal with that coming off of a VAC ban. It's just the reality
like,
of it. But hey,
I don't feel sorry for them in that aspect.
You're getting
same thing
paid
why
to do
I
a
don't
job.
Feel bad for when people make fun of Days for match fixing, you know?
It's like, you did it.
Dude, you did it. Like,
you did it. It's not a big, I mean.
This is not going to get, you don't think Michael Vick was ever made fun of for his dog fighting? Like,
you
no,
don't think
he did
Michael
it.
Vick's own teammates, I'm sure some of them even had problems with it. Just like some teammates will probably have an issue if a cheater gets picked up onto the team. If you're not the star player, if you're not the Hiko of the team, and you don't have say in it, and they pick up somebody that just came off of a VAC, or you're the player that's getting booted for a VAC player.
Oh my
They're gonna have they're gonna have an issue with
dude.
It. But that's just part of sports. If you have the talent and you committed a crime in this case, well, crime, whatever, quote unquote, and you get another opportunity, make the best of it. Show that you can do right, you know, whatever, move on with your life. We're gonna do the same thing, you know.
I 100% agree, and like you said though, only as so many things in esports, only time will tell because it's already old news.
Yeah, they're going to get picked up soon. They'll get picked up. I say soon. They'll get picked up at some point. We'll come back to this topic and see if our hearts have changed.
You know what's not old news, though? E-News.
Mm.
E-News is our weekly segment where we end every show with. It is essentially yesterday's news today. Mainly stories that just weren't big enough for us to dedicate a whole segment to, but we felt you might want to know.
Noteworthy.
They're noteworthy stuff. Noteworthy as in the Halo World Championships happened this weekend. Getting back to my roots as a console gamer. And man, I still love Halo. I still think it's really cool and fun. Maybe it's a nostalgia thing. But
one of the best LAN games I've ever played with friends, you know.
Sure, for sure. They had their World Championships where Optic ended up sweeping Envious in the finals 4-0. Dude, Optic dominated. In fact, in the playoffs, Optic only dropped one game.
That was to Liquid,
and that was
right?
to Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Like, just unreal how Optic controls the console scene.
It's unreal that they're good at everything they're involved. I mean, even in CS, they're a top, you know, whatever, top 10, top 15, wherever they are now at the rankings. But
yeah.
They're, like, good at every game they're involved in. So props to them. And, I mean, you know how to put a team together. You know how to build your org from, you know, they're a good group to follow because they're good at everything they put their hands on. So cheers to them. That's great.
And in the pre-show meeting, your jaw nearly dropped. Fell off your face.
Couldn't believe
when
it.
When you saw the prize pool for the Halo World Championship, a whopping $1 million, where $500,000 is going to first place. And that's a four-man team.
That's like bigger than ESL 1 Cologne
yes.
coming up for CS.
Yes!
I mean, that
and
is,
ESL 1 Lone is a staple in CSGO,
like,
dude.
I almost feel like we should have made this a segment because I'm still in shock when you say it to me. I cannot believe their prize pool is that
for
big.
Halo.
Like, I really want to go back and just start playing right now.
Dude,
like,
even the finals weren't even like top on Twitch. Like,
I couldn't believe it. 500K
overall,
for first place. I mean, what, 200, then 100. I mean, that is, hey, props to them for being able to organize a tournament that way.
Well,
that is,
you know, that's what happens when you have your, it's the same thing in like Call of Duty. It's what happens when you have the developer behind the game.
Is it crowdfunded? Like, where do they get the money from?
No, dude, that's all developer.
Like Bungie?
Well, it's 343 now.
Oh,
Bungie's
okay.
been out of the game for a long time.
Okay, whatever. So, but the developers behind
this. Yes, it's
this
the developers behind it.
Are they putting up all the money, do we know?
I would assume. I don't know
that
where they got the money from.
I mean,
from,
that's really
yes, dude.
Incredible. Now, granted, they have some big organizations. I mean, Team Envious is who they beat in the finals.
Yup, Team Liquid.
Team Liquid. Splice
is
there.
Straight Rippin' has been around since Halo CE. Straight Rippin' used to be the number one Halo team of all time. What? They were in there with Final Boss. They got
Luminosity is in here too,
place,
right?
Yeah. Luminosity, Evil Geniuses have a team. They didn't qualify for the World Championship, but that is still
so
a
like
big
a lot of big organizations are involved.
They're there.
In this.
Cloud, you know what? I don't think Cloud9 has a Halo team anymore.
Well,
but they were
started up.
They were involved with Halo.
Well,
so
with money like this going
thing.
Around,
now,
I mean, that's insane.
The funny thing though is because even despite the big prize pool and being $1 million. Like I said, it didn't generate a whole lot of audiences on Twitch, and apparently, like, the venue was awful. Like, it was at, I believe, the ESL headquarters in California. Don't quote me on that. I think it was. And even, like, Hector, the owner of Optic Gaming, was tweeting out saying, like, this is embarrassing. Like, this is not
like, no
good.
Fans?
Well, it's not that there were
was
no
the
fans.
Show production
it was just,
value?
It was just small.
Yeah.
Like, there was only, like, a row of, like, five rows deep fans, and then they had outside of the studio what they called an overflow tent. It was basically a pop-up tent with a giant screen in
was
it.
Was that full?
To where if you couldn't watch it, no, it wasn't even that full. So even if you couldn't get inside the actual venue, you had to watch on an overflow tent outside, which, okay, if I have to watch on an overflow tent and not see it in the room with it going on, I'm out. Like, that's embarrassing.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, they got $500,000 for first place.
I'm just
so
saying, as far as your
the
look,
event goes,
like, you
yeah.
got to set up. If you're going to post up $1 million tournament, you need to act like
the stream was pretty
tournament.
Good, though.
Oh,
I didn't
stream,
think the
I
stream
thought,
was
no,
bad
no,
at all.
I thought the stream was good, but from what I hear, there was about almost half as many cameramen and people involved working it than there were actual people there. And it was strictly a venue issue. Like, okay. The venue just didn't allow for people to be there.
To make it, like,
a
big thing.
Yeah, like, they did not try to do much of anything there.
Well, hey, at the end of the day, props to Optic Gaming, props to Envious, making it to the finals. Y'all got a good payday.
Yeah.
You guys got a good payday.
You might see us next season.
Right.
You have E-League started up again this week with Street Fighter V, their Invitational starting here. I'm going to tweet out at the Center Ring. Liquipedia they have a really good page for E-League on Street Fighters because the format's weird, especially for a fighting game. They do four groups and everything like E-League did in Counter-Strike. Yep. They do the group stage and each day is dedicated to one group, right? Like, it's actually going on right now, Group B. Group A was yesterday. You had Punk and Momochi coming out in second. Some of the people eliminated from that, Marn, rest in peace, Marn. He's hilarious. But he's just not that good. And then also, tournament favorite as far as, my God, does the camera love her, Ricky Ortiz. Fun fact about Ricky Ortiz. You know it, right?
No.
Ricky Ortiz plays for Evil Geniuses. Transgen. She is a former he.
Nice.
Yes.
There
and
you go.
And let me tell you what, E-League ate that.
Good for them.
Dude. Oh my God.
Daigo played today, didn't he?
Yeah, Daigo played today. He's currently 3-for-3.
He just dropped a match earlier, I saw.
Yeah, you know, Daigo...
He dropped a round.
Daigo was... He still is, he was invited to this tournament. He is still a top pro, but he is also a top pro that will lose on you.
Best YouTube video... or a play that's ever happened in esports, right? That's his clip where he made that comeback win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one where it was you couldn't even see
Chun-Li
the health bar.
And it was Chang Li and I forgot who it was. Anyways, he will forever be in my heart,
Not even a huge fighting game community,
no,
and yet you know
not
who
at
Daigo
all.
Is.
But I've seen that video 100 times.
Anytime I need to show someone how the fighting game community is intense, I'm like,
watch
check
this
it,
video.
Check it out.
Doesn't even
that.
Matter that it's from
Dude,
and 95
you
and you
can
are hooked.
Appreciate it. That's one of the beauties of a fighting game, though, is you can appreciate it because it's okay, you got to take his health down
you
first.
You saw his value to the sport today after his match. His opponent.
Guilty.
She walked up to him.
Not bad, by the way.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
She walked up to him and got his autograph.
Not bad.
Well, she got his autograph after the match, live on stage in
Dude,
his book or whatever it was. I mean, maybe backstage. I'm not going to go shake the dude's hand and be sign my book for me
right.
after he whoops
Yo,
my ass.
I know you just dominated me, but she did beat him one round, though, which I would...
Yeah, that was impressive. She got
to
win off.
I take that to the bank.
And he stomped her
Dude,
on the third
God.
Round. I mean, it
you
was
think
like...
Gave, you think he gave her
he
that one?
Oh, gosh, that did not just happen. I mean, he put her into the ground.
Mm-mm. No, but not that bad, that
not
guilty
that
girl.
Bad.
07? Kind of sucks.
The schoolgirl outfit and everything. Was she
probably 17 14 years
here.
Old or something like that.
Let's move on.
Justin Wong, he's 2-4. He might not. Well,
that's who he played against, wasn't it?
He played one against Justin Wong.
No.
He played guilty
in the big match. The video that we're talking about.
Is it? See, I don't know. I just remember him coming out on top.
Anyways, yes.
Justin Wong being American, he's kind of iffy right now. Group B, the big surprise there for me, though, not officially making it through just yet, but Snake Eyes is currently 4-2. Like I said, it's going on right now, so I don't know what's going on in the current results. Snake Eyes, to me, is really only relevant for being one of the first more popular American Street Fighter players. He's sponsored by Red Bull. He's been there forever. But to be honest, he hasn't really done anything to warrant why he's so popular, in my opinion.
Good NA player in the fighting game.
Other than being NA, right? It just wasn't it. He doesn't bring anything to the table. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Hey, good for you those sponsors. I'm proud of you, son.
And CSGO, Jason R replaces Freak as, again, a stand-in for Optic. He will also be in IGL.
Yep, that's a big deal.
This is his second time standing in for them, right?
This will be his first time. He's standing in for Complexity just recently.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
So he's kind of getting the hop around right now. But
to have a stand-in as an IGL?
Terrible idea. This is kind of going back to the Hiko situation.
That speaks measures to what they think of him.
He's been really good in Rank S recently, since he's been streaming. He's been, awesome in there. So it's hard to knock on him for his play in there. I don't think you bring a stand into IGL, though. Not like he's been consistently doing this. It's not like he's moving over from one team where he was just in-game leader, moving on to another. So this is a really, really big opportunity for him. If he can come in there, IGL, Fragwell, I mean, that could bring them back to the prominence that they were just recently had, that they just got a taste of before it was pulled out of their mouth. I mean, this is a big chance for Jason Hart. I hope he pulls through and does it, but man, that's asking a lot from somebody walking onto your team.
And then what is apparently becoming a weekly special here in Indian CSGO news, a 16-team international tournament in India called the COBX.
Yeah, COBX.
Gaming, which is a $300,000 event. Two teams will come from India's first league, and the remaining 14 will come from an international teams.
It's going to be like international pools.
Meaning the bottom two teams are going to be Indian.
You mean two of the qualifiers will be Indian-based teams?
I mean,
coming out of the first Indian league, which is...
Last and second to last will be Indian.
You know what?
There probably is not a chance that any of the teams actually worth invite, unless...
NA is involved.
Maybe they just purposely invite just the worst NA and EU teams to set it up. Just
I think
set,
it's cool that they're growing the sport.
You're going to see Team Mythic invited to this.
In the Asias in general, I think it's great that the sport is growing. India is just another market for it to go into. We're seeing China. We're seeing India become more involved.
Hey, my name is Launders.
Hater. I think it's great. It's a $300,000 tournament. You have somebody like Fallen, who's already come out and tweeted saying that he would love to be there for that tournament. So you can almost count SK going, you know, getting an invite.
Tournament.
Hey, you know what? It's a big enough prize pool. It's another country for them to visit. They can enjoy the beauty of the country. Another tournament to go to. Hopefully, the biggest thing is, I hope India's organizers for this tournament don't, like, royally screw this up. Like, put on a good show, make it worth your while, have the ACs running at full blast in there.
They don't
because
pull
it
Dubai,
it is,
where the one time they did the tournament in Dubai and it was outside.
They
and
overheated
it ended up being
and like,
hot as hell. And like
look,
the
don't mess
they
this
had
up.
Like the seating was basically sleeping bags, but when it's 90 degrees outside, who wants to sit on a
if
sleeping
anything,
bag?
Anything, Indians know how to put on a show. You got Bollywood over there, take some notes from them. Throw that shit inside somewhere and put on a show. Like do it good. Put them up in good spots. You know, make it a comfortable tournament for them so you can hopefully do this again and just expand the sport in other countries.
They need to do the Chinese Olympic treatment and just ignore all the poverty and everything else on. Just show the fun stuff.
Throw a blanket on it. Pretend like it's not there for a
show
week.
Show the fun stuff.
And go.
Just for the love of God, make it good.
I think it's great, though. It's good
and then
for the sport.
In sad E! News, Mad Catz, obviously known for their controllers and everything and fighting game community as of recently, has been officially delisted from the New York Stock Exchange.
You know, sad news, but like you had mentioned this earlier, it's a lot harder to make a cheap controller nowadays.
And that's kind of what they've always been known for. You can't make a cheap PS4 controller with the technology in it. Just
plenty of companies delist, though, that are still big companies. AMD was on the... I think AMD might have even delisted for a period of time. They've bounced back. They're running over like $16,
$17
a share.
Just because you're delisted doesn't mean anything.
So it just...
No.
It means enough to where like, hey, you're not profitable enough to be on the big stage, but they can still lurk around and hey, if they come out with a great product, they can very easily
kind
of...
they're huge in the fighting game. Like a lot of people like their fighting sticks.
I think the problem is that community isn't big enough to make them like that relevant, right?
It's not. It's not. And just recently, I think in the last year or two, they did drop all sponsors.
Yeah.
Like they did sponsor players and everything and they dropped all of them because just financially it wasn't making sense.
Because they were making like flight sticks and all that too, weren't they?
I mean, they were trying to get more into the unique controller market rather than just
partnered up with Star Citizen for a period of time. And that whole project went to wash. So, again, being delisted, not the end of the world. Hopefully they stick around and find their way back. But, yeah, disappointing, I'm sure, for the higher-ups over
there. Well, and anyone who grew up playing games, right? Mad Catz was always, a lot of times, the butt end of a joke. But,
hey, it was always your best friend's controller that he'd have to use when he comes over.
Yeah. The staple growing up in video games. You have to love Mad Catz. Just like you have to love TCR. But sadly, we are done for the episode 55 of The Center Ring. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you do, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Or maybe even if you hate it, still let us know. Give us a follow.
Be nice about it.
You know, maybe constructive criticism for once.
follow us on Instagram. We're going to be a lot more active on there, so hopefully you see that. And it's if you type in the center ring, we'll pop up on there. We'll be sending out some more stuff on there, keeping you guys updated.
We're on that. Always be sure to check out the website, the center. Oh no, that is not our website.
It is. Wait a minute.
Don't even know the website.
Don't even know.
It is tcr.gg is the website. That will have all of our past episodes on there. Very out of date YouTube episodes. Maybe I'll update that if I have the time. And always join the discussion on our Discord. We are active on the Discord. We have a Counter-Strike server, which we're in and out of, whatever.
You can catch us on there. We're also playing a lot of Players Unknown. So for you guys that are into that game now, you can come and join us. We're always looking for extras there. Feel free to stop by.
We don't shun the fans. We embrace them. We'll play with you. It's okay.
As long as you can enjoy a joke, come on in.
That is true. That is a requirement for sure. Either way, thank you again so much for listening to The Center Ring. Episode 55 is done. Brett's suspension is officially lifted. He will be back next week for episode 56, as who knows what we'll discuss. Maybe iBuyPower will be able to play. Maybe not. But that's next week, episode 56 of The Center Ring. Until then, take it easy, and thank you so much for listening.